Okay. Just making sure I was on the right track. We're going to bless the tithe and offering this morning. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful. Lord, our life is yours. Father, this is why we tithe. It represents our life, our livelihood. Father, you've blessed it. Father, as a testament, I can stand here and tell these people today that you are faithful, that you've never once reneged. So, Father, we honor you today with our tithes and our offerings. I bless them, Lord God, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and Super Kids can be dismissed. Well, Eli has gotten to boot camp, so if you guys, anybody would like to send him a letter, make sure it's got flowers and perfume, and no. But you can see his mother for the address, and about what? Yeah, you're not really supposed to send all that stuff on it. They have to pay for them with push-ups and running in place and jumping jacks. I did it for 13 weeks. I know what it's like. Care packages, oh, they were great. Watch the drill instructors eat the cookies and the fudge, and while you were on the quarter deck pushing with a big pool of sweat from head to toe in the air conditioning. It was awesome. No, but seriously, if you would like to write him, you can get hold of his mother sitting right back there, and she'll get you his address. Praise God. Well, as I've been asking the Lord, you know, sometimes when we get so busy, we have a hard time hearing from God. Sometimes we just ignore maybe what God says. And I can't say that I ignored what God said, but I can definitely say it was hard to hear. And as I've been praying, Lord, what's the message? Well, he gave me the message. And it's actually going to be a simple message, I hope. I have no notes, just so you know, but you all know me, that doesn't mean anything. But what I feel God wanting to tell us is something of an encouragement, as a reminder of who he is. So let's open our Bibles, if you got them, to Psalm chapter 93. It says, "The Lord reigns, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed, he has girded himself with strength." I'll get it out. "Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old, you are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty water waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever." I just really felt the Lord tell me to, just as a reminder to all of us, that in spite of all the stuff going on in the world, there's lots and lots of waves right now, aren't there? Lots and lots of floods. Anytime you read in the Bible where it talks about a flood, it's destruction is what it's aimed for. And, you know, the one place it says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. A standard is something that doesn't move. It doesn't run. It doesn't turn tail. But a flood is always destructive. When we read of many waters in the Bible, especially in prophecy and in things that's not specific to like Noah's flood, what we're actually seeing is people. The people, the voices of the people rise up in destruction against us, against God. It didn't work in Noah's time. It has never worked in any society, period. History proves it. When we repeat history, we're going to get the same results. But what David was talking about here. And if you've ever followed the life of David, you know that David's life was one, lots and lots of floods. He had everybody against him. He was the youngest of eight. Wasn't really looked upon kindly by his brothers. But because of his heart, God said, that is the man I want as my king. You reject me, but I reject the king you chose. I want him because of his heart. His heart is towards me, and his heart is towards the people. When David went before Saul, and he said, is there not a cause? He, this uncircumcised Philistine, dares to stand before the armies of the Most High. God was his first reason. Standing against the people was his second. And David stood. David made mistakes. If anybody dares to say, I don't want to be like, he made mistakes. If you pattern yourself after failure, listen, I'm not saying you can't look at somebody and say, I'd like to have that quality and desire to be that. When you say, I want to be just like so-and-so, first off, you need to know, so-and-so has been to hell and back and probably made more mistakes than you can imagine. But they overcame them. That's what we look at. We look at pride. Oh yeah, look, they're powerful. You know, sometimes we can't see the truth because we're stuck with our own image in our head of what life should be. Life is so much better for so-and-so. Look at what they've got. Look at this. Look at that. I watched an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond the other night. It's one of those shows that I love to hate and hate to love. Because I'm like, dude, be a man. Quit lying to your wife. You're going to get caught. How many figured out when you lie, you get caught in it? It's just, you can't keep up the lies. Well, but anyhow, but this particular episode, this young man shows up and he wants to see Frank, Ray's dad. He said, he's such a great man. He mentored me. He encouraged me. Well, Ray and Robert got a little sideways on that. You called us Nancy's. You called, and the guy said, I said, I never knew Frank had boys. He always told me he had two little girls at home. And they both just stood there. But they finally confronted their dad, and they start berating him. They start telling him what they thought. And Frank told them why he did what he did for the kid. And they stood there, and they started realizing maybe they had overstepped their what they thought was real. But when the boy came in, well, young man, when he came back in and he said, you know, Mr. Brown, the city is coming in. I'm faced with thousands and thousands of dollars of fines. I'm going to have to fix this, 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 and this. He said, I think I'm just going to shut my store down. And Frank turned and just tore into him, called him a Nancy, said, is that the way you're going to deal with it? Is you're going to keep running away, blah, 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 blah. And Ray and Robert, Dad, take it easy, take it easy. And he just didn't. He just kept going after him, going after him. But the young man looked at Frank and he said, thank you. That's what I love about you. See, my dad told me I was the greatest. That I was the best at everything, even when I failed. But you told me the truth. And I rose up against the adversities. See, we like to just blame everybody else for our problems. That's what's going on in this world. Have you figured it out? It's the blame game. It's been going on since Adam and Eve. How about we knock it off? It's the Presbyterians. It's Episcopalians. It's the Catholics. It's the Muslims. It's the atheists. It's the this. It's the that. It's all of us. We're a bunch of numbskulls. We make mistakes, but we're unwilling to forgive others. We want forgiveness, but we refuse to forgive others. David said with the voice, God is clothed in strength. He's your father. He's the only father who's never made a mistake. I can promise you that. When you need somebody to go to, you go, as the Bible says, to the rock that is higher than I. God is so far above the garbage that's going on right now. The attacks on people's character. Whatever may or may not really be happening. We don't know. But what we do know is their voices are rising up in destruction. God says, I'm above all of that. I'm above Antifa. I'm above communism. I'm above this. I'm above the Republicans. I'm above the Democrats. I'm above the right. I'm above the left. I am above it. When we go to God, He is above all this garbage. We're in it. We're hearing it. You've ever been in the ocean during a storm, you know you're part of the wave. The wave is beating on you. One reason I never wanted to go on a ship. Like, I have no interest in ships, like I've told people before. I said, when I joined the Marines, I failed to check to see how we got transported around the world. Might have been something worth checking into. Praise God, I never had to be on a ship. I got flown everywhere I needed to be. However, I've seen the videos of these huge ships. They are massive in these storms. And that ship is rising and it's falling. And these waves, I mean, personally, I get a little concerned when the nose of the ship is down like this and there's a 50-foot wave coming at you. And they just head right into it and they let it crash. That captain knows what that ship is capable of. God knows what you are capable of. And He said, when you're not capable, I'm there. And that's why David always referred to God as my fortress, my strong tower. He is a tower. You can see the enemy coming, but the waves can't hit you. He is above all this stuff. No matter how loud they cry, no matter how much people speak out against you, no matter what they're saying, the truth is God's ways are above all ways. They're above our ways. They're above our government's ways. They're above everybody's ways. There's things I got a feeling, like I said, we get to heaven, we're going to be, boy, I couldn't have missed that anymore, could I have? I was so far off base. Verse 5 says, your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. Where's the house of God, ladies and gentlemen? And if you point to this building, yeah, thank you. Paul told Corinthians, don't you know you're the temple of the Lord? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the house. You're the house. God's testimonies adorn you. What has He done? We've all got a scar or two, don't we? Anybody got a scar from stupid things you did? Okay, Caleb, I need to see that hand. We all do. We've got scars from, well, that didn't work out. Here, watch this. The famous last words before a trip to the emergency room. We all have those scars and they adorn our body. I can show you, you can't see some of the scars I've got, but I can show you where they were. And tell you what happened, what the weather was like the day that it happened, because I remember. How about the things when God showed up on the scene? The waves were surrounding you. They were beating against you. The voices were rising up in assault. And God showed up on the scene and shut the whole thing down. Well, God doesn't do that. Well, that's the 12 disciples. He did it. He stood up, He looked at the sea, and He said, shh, be quiet. I'm going to point out to you, folks, He didn't get up and cast out 10 million demons out of that storm. He didn't run back and forth on the boat. We got to be praying in tongues, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, we got to be fasting. We got to fast, or this storm's not. He just stood up and said, shh. That's what happens when God shows up. Our ways are not His ways. You want to be instant in season and out of season? That's how you're instant. You're prayed up. You're ready to go. You trust God always. Well, I think I'm going to start a fast tomorrow. Well, what happens when you're going down the road, you hit a patch of ice on your way home and your car starts spinning? Do you have time to fast? Do you have time to pray? A little bit. Depends on how fast you're spinning. I've hit the ditch and I'm pretty sure it's under about 2 seconds. But the words that come out of your mouth, the very next words out of your mouth are the ones that matter. Trust who God is. David's trying to tell us here. He's clothed in strength. That's what we need. He's clothed in majesty. Man, there ain't a royal on this planet that can outdress God. God's holiness, His ways of righteousness. His ways are not our ways. We don't understand things. I honestly do not understand why Jesus had to come. Why blood? Well, it's because, no. There's something before we have no idea about. There's something else that only Adam knew about. Why the sacrifice? I don't know. Doesn't make any sense to me. But then again, I'm not God. I don't have all the facts. I don't know everything God knows. This is why we have to be careful when we go judging our presidents. I would have made a different decision. Well, let's give you the facts that the president was faced with, or that general was faced with. See what decision you make then. I wouldn't have done it. We all do it. All you armchair quarterbacks. Well, here's what they should have done. Well, there's probably a reason the coach called in a different play, or maybe a reason that quarterback called an audible. He saw something you couldn't. How many times have people hit deer? I didn't see it. Just about every time, right? I have been trying to hit a deer for 10 years. You know what my problem is? I see them. And I instinctively hit the brakes. I had a car. I was like, God, we need to hit a deer with this thing. It was a Ford Expedition, and it had that stupid motor that cost $2,500 to change the spark plugs in because it was an awful design. I'm like, God, that thing needs to go. It really needs to go. We love it, but it's got to go. And I'd be driving along, maybe a deer will jump out in front of me. No, because Art hits the brakes, flashes his light, and hits the horn. And I've never hit a deer. So what does God do? He sends the one who's not a hunter. Her. I don't know where it came from, honey. It just ran across the field. Let's back up 150 yards. You could see clean across that field. But it was just there. Boom. And praise God, it totaled the vehicle. The guy told me, says, it couldn't have hit any more perfect. God knows. Why does God know? Well, first off, He's up here. He's above the situation. It's kind of hard to judge the battle when you're in it, isn't it? But if you're up above on a high spot, you can see everything. Do you know why snipers are up high? They can see everything. They can see what's coming. Today the snipers are used in conjunction with reconnaissance, and they're sending back, hey, you've got a whole group coming this way. You got friendlies over here. Go this way. Wait a minute, you got a roadblock. They're telling them this information now because they're up above everything. And the thing is, when they're up above everything, the things down below them really can't see them. See, those testimonies are the things that we go through. The scars. The ones that people can't see. Those are the things. God got me through it. God saw me through that. Well, I don't believe there is a God. Well, you're about to. The whole world is about to. What we're experiencing right now has not been seen on this level in years, thousands. But this time, it truly is around the world. Not just in this little particular part of Europe. Completely around the world. And God saw it coming. That's why the book of Revelation was written. But the part that scares me the most are the parts where Jesus talked. He said, "And people will betray one another because the love of many grow cold." Folks, he was talking about the church. Jesus addressed the people of God. And he said, people will turn on each other because they don't love. That's the part that concerns me. Well, they're going to require this. So what? Well, I'm just afraid they're going to require a mask. Stores requiring masks. It's their store. They can do what they want. You don't come in my house and do what you want. You may think, well, that's just rude for you to act like that. No, it's my house. It's rude for you to act like that. Straighten up. You don't go into somebody else's house and tear it up. My house, if you do, you're going to fix it. I got the tools out in the barn. You ain't going nowhere until it's fixed. If you're acting a fool. David was acknowledging what God has seen him through. David was acknowledging that God was adorned in his strength. He was dressed in majesty. When God walked into a situation, the situation paid attention. Sickness. The Bible says that one day everything that has a name, every knee will bow. Sickness and disease has to. It's going to continue. Don't get me wrong. Don't think, well, you know, we're going to just walk through and never have a sick day in our life. And, you know, I appreciate your enthusiasm. Here's a smack back into reality. If you aren't being attacked, you aren't a threat. The United States has been attacked for how long? From our inception. Not going to happen. Oh, hey, things are going good. We're going to come back and try to take you out again. And we're done fighting you. We'll just let another enemy. Even though Japan was warned by its generals not to attack the United States, they did. Do I think this is the greatest country in the world? Absolutely. It's my opinion. I have been to a few other countries, so I have a little bit of background to say that. But does that give me a right to be arrogant? Do you know Europeans and Asians really don't like Americans? Because we're arrogant. We go over and act like we own their countries. We think we got rights over there. We don't. People have hated us. But then they want to be like us. They want these freedoms. You have the freedom to believe as you want to believe. You really do. Sometimes the church forgot that. Well, you got to worship God the way we said to worship God. I don't see what you said was the way to worship God in the Bible. Not only that, I see nothing that says I have to worship the way that you said. I acknowledge there's a God. I acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I don't wear a tie all the time. My wife dressed me today. She told me what shirt to wear. I picked out the pants. But we're living in the days and age, folks, we're listening to the waves. We're listening to what's going on around us more than we're trying to listen to God. I've been telling you, most of you have been doing it, and I praise God because I'm seeing it. But if you don't turn, get your news and then turn it off. If you watch an hour of the news, here's your challenge. You're to read an hour in your Bible. Because you heard nothing but the voice of the world. And I'm going to tell you, and I've told you before, it doesn't matter if they're conservative or liberal. Everybody has their swing. They tilt the stories to get to your attention. Because I've read stories, I'm like, that had nothing to do with what the headline said. And it was from a conservative post. I'm not into that. Truth. Down the middle of the road. Not to the left, not to the right. The middle of the road. You stay out of the ditches that way. But no matter what's coming against you. I just spoke with Pastor Bob Montgomery, which, by the way, he says to tell you hello. Up in Michigan, I spoke to him this morning, and he was telling him, and I asked him, I said, how's everything up in Michigan? How's your family? And he told me that his one daughter, I guess, he didn't say when, but she went through a pretty good battle, a pretty good fight. She was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer that had metastasized to other parts of her body and wasn't looking good. Notice I said wasn't. Till God showed up on the scene. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. She went back. They had been treating her. And honestly, they were expecting her to die. And I think she's actually younger than us. Yeah. Well, they checked her out again and they said, ma'am, we got some news. We don't know how to tell you. There's absolutely no cancer in your body anywhere. And they didn't take it out. They'd been trying to treat it, but they didn't know how. I know how. The Spirit of the Lord raised up a standard against the enemy. Doesn't mean he's not going to try. I'm going to try to make this analogy. If the devil doesn't ever come after you, it's kind of like being the last one picked for the kickball team. I will tell you, when I was young, I was about this tall in the fifth grade. No, I might have been about this tall. I was short. Very short, 50 pounds. 10 years old, 50 pounds. Sack of potatoes weighed as much as I did. I was tiny. I was not picked for the kickball team first. And even, I remember the kids coming up from the back. Everybody move up, everybody move up. They always did that for the short guys. Everybody move, just because we got short legs. And I loved it. Because there was one thing I could do. I could kick a ball. And I could send that ball right over their heads. Eventually they quit picking me last, and eventually they quit moving up. Because they learned. I tell you that because sometimes that's the way you feel. I'm the last one picked. Well, how about you start praying? Start addressing the situation. Start with your life. Start where you can control things. You control your attitude towards everything. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like that. That's all I hear from a lot of Christians. I don't like, I don't like, I don't like. Well, how about you get in the Word of God, start praying, and ask God first off that, Lord, if it's my attitude that's the problem, change me. That's a prayer Christians don't like to pray. Lord, it's change them. Change my wife. Do you know what she's like? Change her. But you know who God changes? Me. Because I'll get put in a situation to see life from her side. And vice versa. So if you aren't going to pray the right prayer, God will make sure that you get an opportunity to see the other side. Just like Ray and Robbie did. See, they took it as abuse. And the truth of the matter is, Frank had made them men. You know, boot camp, people that have been mothers, I remember Mothers of America was rising up against us at Paris Island and back in the 80s, and it's just going on. Don't yell at my baby. You do know the enemy's not going to yell, right? And it's about a mental stability. Pray for him. As a matter of fact, I don't pray that Eli has an easy time. I pray that those drillings, what do they call them, sergeants? I don't know what the Air Force calls them. The Army, it's drill sergeants. Marines, it's drill instructors. Whatever they are. I pray that they ride him and they make him the man that he is called to be. Because I will tell you right now, I was not the same person on July 25th, 1989, as I am today. And I owe that to four drill instructors. One of them who stood up and said, I'm not here to be your mama. I'm not here to coddle you. And he had other words to say that I cannot share. But I had the privilege of running into him in the fleet. I looked out my door at base housing one day, and I saw this guy about yay tall walking into my neighbor's house. He was a recon. Bobby was a recon Marine. And I told Angel, I said, honey, come quick. I said, that little guy, he was one of my drill instructors in boot camp. Oh, yeah? I said, yeah, I'm going to go talk to him. I walked over. Knocked on Bobby's door. Bobby came. Bobby was about 6'1". Like I said, recon Marine. He had a Rottweiler that put the fear of God in anybody. He came to the door. Hey, R, what's going on? I said, hey, was that Staff Sergeant Fannin just walked in there? He's like, Ken? I said, I didn't know him as Ken. I said, he was my drill instructor. Is that right? Hey, Ken, somebody at the door wants to talk to you. It's one of your former recruits. First words out of his mouth. Man, boot camp is a different... He said, it's a different world. I said, I know. I said, I just wanted to thank you. I wanted to thank him for making me who I was. See, if he had been all cozy and whatnot, I'd have never rose up. Because nobody wants anything bad to happen to their children, do they? We want the nest to always be comfortable and cozy for them. And the truth of the matter is sometimes it's got to get a little bit rough. And when it got rough, it's what made me who I am. I believe I was born for such a time as this. Because I've read history books. I thought, boy, I'd like to live in the time of Abraham Lincoln. Or I'd like to have lived during the time of Thomas Jefferson, John Adams. I've always thought that had been so cool. And I can promise you right now, they're like, dude, seriously? You got indoor plumbing. Okay, you got air conditioning. We had wool pants, wool underwear. So much that I never looked at, but what made me was those voices. Being surrounded by drill instructors, taking their brim of their cover and cracking me across the nose with it till my eyes watered. Yelling and screaming in my ear. They do that on purpose. If you ever watch videos on YouTube of drill instructors, they get this awful high-pitched scream. And they get right there in your ear. You can't think. And that's its point. Until you learn to just stand there and not let it affect you. See, that's what the Bible's talking about. I found a place at that point that I could stay. How about now, when the voices are screaming and they're wanting your attention and they're squealing so loud it hurts your eardrums? And you just want to react, right? That's what we all want to do. We want to react. We want to lash out at the cop who just pulled us over. Well, you were speeding. Well, you're not going to give me a warning? No. Y'all got to be glad I didn't become a cop. Forget the warning. I heard somebody got pulled over once and the cop asked him about a warning and the cop said no. So I give you people enough rope to hang yourself, and when you hang yourself, you're done. They give you grace. Don't tell me they pulled you over for 2 miles an hour over, because that's a lie. I know what the cops in this town will let you away with. If they cited you for two over, say thank you, sir, for being kind to me. I got pulled over one time for 20 over. Y'all do know that's not a good thing. He cited me for 18. That was God's mercy. Thank you, sir. Have a blessed day. He did his job. But when these voices are screaming at you, find your place in God. Find your peace in God. If you don't do that, the voices, the waves, the storms, they win. They're cutting jobs. Yeah, and they're going to cut more. I just read John Deere's cutting about 130 people. Harley Davidson's right behind them. Quite a few people are. What are we going to do? Trust God. Trust God. I didn't see anywhere in the Exodus where the children of Israel had jobs. But I do see where God provided. If you don't know this, their shoes didn't wear out. 40 years of wearing the same, probably stinking shoes. The leather never wore out. They had meat. They had water. They had bread. Think about that for a minute. And then when God did cut that supply line off and he sent them into the promised land, remember the fruit that the spies brought back. They had to carry grape pods on a pole between two guys because the pods were just so big and full. It was a bountiful land God provided. If God provided for them, he'll provide for you. Don't listen to the voices. Listen to the one that says, trust me. I've got you. We like throwing that around as a catchphrase. God's got this. Well, if God's got this, let him have it. Quit throwing it on Facebook every 5 minutes. Sorry. That's my inner Frank coming out. I relate a lot with Frank on that show. Because that's what my drill instructors did to me. That's exactly what they did to me. Oh, you have no empathy. Yeah, I do. I yawn. If you understand the study, if you yawn when somebody else yawns, it means you're empathetic. You're not a sociopath. I'm not. All right, let's stand. I've digressed plenty. But I will tell you one thing I have learned, because I've learned it of God, is He is a merciful God. He is a God of mercy. He doesn't want judgment. Why do you think Jesus told us if we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged? I don't want to be judged. I want God's mercy. I want to change what I can change and let God have the rest. Because how many know there's only certain things you can control? I've been told that I act just like my grandfather on certain things. I have one memory. He died when I was 4. That I act like a man I never knew. I can't control that. But I can control how I act with my temper. I can control how I react, how I treat other people. But there's thoughts that go through my mind. I'm like, Lord, where did that come from? Well, that's the flesh. That's the parts you can start bringing into control. And sometimes acting like your grandfather, your father, your uncle, or whoever, your aunt, isn't always a bad thing. I've been told I look like him too, except I have more hair. Don't listen to these voices. They're going to be screaming. They've been screaming. That's the thing. They've been screaming. Fascism isn't something new. You're not a fascist unless you want to control others. That's what true fascism is. Not laws. Anyhow, that's a whole other subject for a whole other day. So, but be cool today. Drink plenty of water. Plenty of water. I started getting a really bad headache and wasn't feeling so good yesterday, and I realized I think I've drank one glass of water in 2 days. That's not good. Coffee and iced tea just don't keep you trucking. Water, water, water. I've already had water several times today, so like I don't like feeling like that. So, all right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful, Lord, that we are your temples. Now, Father, we pray right now that you help us to become more like you, to be in your image, Father. We don't want to be like Peter. We don't want to be like David. I don't want to be like anybody else but you. Father, I want to be full of mercy. I want to be full of love. Father, and I will leave the judgment part to you. Father, help me not to judge others. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord, all the family members today that came to be a part of these dedications, Lord, I bless them. Father, as they go out, that their lives will be changed, Father, that even if their walk with you has been shaky at best, Father, that they will find renewed strength to stand up, square away their armor, and move on. And now, Father, I bless these people. Father, as they go about their day and about their week, Lord God, I pray that you are with them. I pray that they feel your presence, Father. They see your leading and your guiding in their lives. Father, for your opening doors, your closing doors, and you're leading them on the paths of righteousness for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen.